I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. After more than a decade of planning and millions of dollars spent, IKEA announced that it won't be setting up shop in Somerville's Assembly Square. With me on the phone is Somerville Mayor Joseph Curtatone. Mayor, did you see this coming?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on your show. We knew there was no guarantee they were still becoming a Somerville, especially since the downturn in the world economy in 2008. They made it very clear as we recalibrated timelines and went over schedules that although North American IKEA representatives were still gung-ho, that it was a world economic model they were pursuing, and that coming to Somerville wasn't a definite thing any longer.
All right. Well, a lot of time, certainly, almost 15 years, and a lot of money from the state invested in really making IKEA or helping IKEA to become kind of the linchpin of all of the development in Assembly Square. So what happens now to the monies that were invested? And, you know, of course, no deal is final till it's final, but what happens now to that time and an investment?
Well, let me clarify that point. We've invested city, state, and federal money totaling $130 million, which has leveraged $1.5 billion of investment for development, which is occurring right now, irrespective of IKEA coming or not. IKEA, while we would have loved to have had them as a long-term partner, and I said all along for the last several months, if they come, great. If they don't, great. This is a much better opportunity for the city and the Commonwealth because it allows for higher and better uses of those 12 acres. IKEA was already pre-permitted back in almost 10 years ago. And when we developed the current plans for the Assembly Row Mixed-Use District, which is the brand-new neighborhood on the waterfront, which is under construction now, we were working around the IKEA project. In fact, IKEA was originally proposed to be on the waterfront, and one of the critical moves we did in conjunction with IKEA was to negotiate the flip of their land to go behind the Home Depot. But removing a 350,000-square-foot big box, opening up 12 acres of development, are on an infrastructure-ready district where the first T-station in the Commonwealth in 25 years is being built, where we have new and current construction going on in the best and newest neighborhood in the greater Boston metropolitan area, opens up so many better opportunities to enhance the site, create more jobs and more tax revenues than an IKEA would have ever brought to us.
So just to be clear, you were going along with the plan with IKEA as central to it because it, as you say, it had been pre-permitted, had long been in the planning. But when it went away, that's okay, too, because now in these days and times, 10, 15 years later, there's a better use for the space than just having that one big box store there.
Absolutely. IKEA has been an honorable partner. What's ironic is they have been a major catalyst for the development that's occurring right now. But a year ago when they wanted to extend their special permits, what we had said to IKEA was, look, if you're going to build, you need to do it now. Enough of the delays. If you're not, let us know. But you must work with us on disposing of the property. In fact, today they're already selectively marketing the site. And the city, through its urban renewal plan, will also designate those parcels that IKEA owns as acquisition parcels that we will, so we can help drive the development process. But I'll tell you this. That site will sell or develop faster than they can imagine because the site is infrastructure ready, the T station's being built, development's already occurring, and some of the hotspots to invest and do business.
All right. Joining me in the studio is Somerville neighborhood activist Ellen Reisner. So, Ellen, are you glad, too, that IKEA's gone?
I am. I think I share Mayor Curtatone's opinion about this as an opportunity. I lived close enough so that I could have gone and have those meatballs every day. Because I live in that neighborhood, and I was always concerned about the traffic implications of an IKEA there. But, you know, you come to accept these things. But I see this as a tremendous opportunity for the city, and the mayor is right. It is infrastructure ready. There is a T station that's going to be opened up there. It's an ideal location. What we would like to see is development there that will bring really good jobs to Somerville, R&D, office development. But part of the development now that is going on at Assembly Row has housing, and there's going to be movie theaters and restaurants. So this is a great opportunity because it's very attractive to employers to build in a place that has a sense of place that people can stay at, recreate at. There's going to be a beautiful park there right on the river. So it's really ideal, and I'm very happy about this change.
Now, you mentioned research and development office planning or mm-hmm. possibilities. What would you like to have there that you know would bring jobs? Because you said you want businesses that will attract jobs.
I'm very interested in seeing more research and development. We're so close to MIT. It's on the Orange Line near, you know, that would connect with the Tufts Medical area.
When you say that, what is that? Google? What is it? What are we talking? What would you love to
have?
Well,
whatever. I mean, we're, yeah. I want to be specific about it. Yeah. Certainly, you know, biomedical, any kind of new technologies. Yeah. There are things happening at MIT and other places that we can't even imagine right now that will be the new businesses. And this is a great place for that. It will attract jobs in all categories from, you know, very highly educated, but also average people who do work, you know, doing office work, maintenance work, repair work. So it can create a vast number of jobs. And Somerville exports people to work. We don't have a surplus of jobs here. So it's an opportunity for us. The other thing I would say is there was a recent article in The Globe noting how much young people want to stay around cities to work, and it's becoming more attractive. So I live near Sullivan Station. I get to downtown Boston faster than when I lived in Boston. So it's an ideal location for companies because it's like less than a 10-minute ride to downtown Crossing.
Mayor, you know, I don't need to tell you that Somerville's reputation as a place that Ellen just described, you know, a place with, you know, sort of the modern research and development where young people are staying around and growing and building, that's not been the reputation of the city often in the past. Will this Assembly Square development put you on the map?
Well, I submit, as any good mayor of Somerville, that we're already on the map. But I will say that certainly this will be another one of our great charms, our neighborhoods around the necklace of Somerville. Though Assembly Square will be a very new neighborhood on the riverfront, it'll still be so Somerville. And because of the work of activists like Ellen and others in the Mystic View Task Force and the community, we want to make sure that our values are captured on the Assembly Square mixed-use district. But we are getting a lot of attention nationally. Assembly Square certainly is. And, you know, we were rated in Boston Magazine as having some of the best restaurants and night spots in the area. We were rated by Boston Phoenix as the best place to live. We were rated as one of the Union Square's rated one of the best neighborhoods in the greater Boston area. But Somerville has, again, it's still a blue-collar town with a strong eclectic mix. People want to live here. They want to work here. They want to play here. They want to raise their family here. So Assembly Square is a natural, will be a natural success for us. It's been a long time coming because, you know, urban transformation does take many times 20 to 30 years, and it's been about 20 years so far, to plan, envision the district, to overcome some hurdles, to seek the infrastructure monies, which is a great example for infrastructure funding as we move forward over the next year here in the Commonwealth to talk about our transportation system, and to bring in those catalyst partners to unlock the dollars. And whenever we talk to prospective office tenants or investors, the one thing they love to talk about is Somerville's brand as a community. And you're right, the reputation has changed, and it's transformed over many, many years, and much to the work of the people in this city.
What about this? And I'd love you to answer it, and also Ellen as well. Now, you mentioned that when some folks, when hearing that IKEA left, that opened up the doors. But, you know, it must be said that IKEA is a brand. It's a national brand. It always draws folk from across the city. In fact, some people drive across states to get to it. So as much as anything can be a guarantee, that was going to be a guarantee of some money coming into that area and into Assembly Square and definitely promoting other kinds of stuff to come there. So you're not worried about the psychological blowback of, you know, IKEA not being there. Not to say you can't attract other people, but, you know, that's a guarantee for a lot of folks.
Well, no, you're right. And IKEA is a great company. And, you know, what I'll make these points. One, IKEA is much of the retail worldwide industry changed their outlook, their economic outlook, and their approach. Where IKEA has their brick and mortars investment, like in New England, where they really made an investment in New Haven and Stoughton over the last 10 years. They're focused more on the online shopping experience, deliveries to door. You have a Stoughton store here in Massachusetts exceeding its reach of customers, where they thought customers would come from, and their sales. I think they made a business decision that this is no longer a two-store market. Mm. But they certainly if you saw the letter IKEA sent to the city, understood the value and the brand of Stumbleville. There was no doubt IKEA was going to have a slam dunk success here, but it would also have been at the expense of Stoughton, and so they would have been cannibalizing themselves.
Okay.
I would say this also, in terms of money coming in, we'll be able to develop this site more in line to what we're doing on the Assembly Row project. More density, more mix of uses. That means greater amount of revenues coming to us and more jobs, and hopefully more of those types of high-tech research jobs that Ellen's referring to. That'll keep those 85% of our employed people who leave the city every day in Stumbleville.
Ellen, to you.
I would say I think IKEA is a fine company, and I've shopped in IKEA, but I didn't necessarily want it in my neighborhood. So I would agree with the mayor that I think there's going to be a lot of people attracted to the Assembly Row development. There are going to be other retail outlets there. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think there's a huge opportunity to really turn this neighborhood into something very special. And I just want to add one thing. Stumbleville is a very interesting city demographically. We have the second highest per capita number of college graduates living in Stumbleville. People don't realize it. And the second highest number of immigrants. Mm. So it's a very diverse, exciting place to be. And we have a population that is looking for a wide range of jobs. We have the people that can fill them. And I think that people will come to Stumbleville to Assembly Row to shop and, you know, to go to the movies and to work. And I just see it as a great opportunity that the city has now to really use that 12 acres of land in a way that will enhance what's already being done there.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. That's for sure. There's a lot of good stuff going on in Stumbleville. I love all the art stuff. So thank you both for talking to me today. We've been talking about IKEA pulling out of Assembly Square and what this means for Stumbleville. I've been speaking with neighborhood activist Ellen Reisner and Stumbleville Mayor Joseph Curtatone. Thank you both.
Thank you.
From Stumbleville, we move on to the violent realities of city living. Earlier this month, authorities busted a multi-million-dollar drug ring in Boston, which had ties to the city's street gangs. We'll check in with the executive director of Street Safe to understand the gang culture that has a firm grip on so many in Boston. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.